legacy that's long. That's the legend of the Armstrongs. Questions get answered, oh, you didn't know. Let's start the show.
Welcome back to the show. It's Road Dogg and Cassio, and you're listening to...
Oh, you didn't know? I'm picking out a thermos for you.
Oh.
A thermos that is gonna hold soup, maybe. I don't know the rest of the words. But look, I'm doing great. I think you're doing good, too. I'm excited about tonight's episode. You look good anyway. When I get nervous, I talk a lot and I don't let other people say anything. So I don't know. I just hadn't seen my friend in a really long time and I'm excited to get to talk to him. So I don't know. It's just exciting. You know what I mean? How are you doing? I mean, you look great.
I'm doing great. I just got this sweatshirt out of storage. So it's like new. You know what I mean? It's the first time I've worn it.
Yeah, you go like, oh my God, I didn't even know I had this. This is a Nike?
I was wanting people to see me today. Like, did you see
that? Do you say Nike or Nike?
I say Nike because I'm not an idiot.
Because you're not. You're not.
Yeah. Do you say Nike?
No. Sounds funny just saying it, don't it? Sound like you said a curse word. Don't you talk like that in here. No,
any more
I don't
goats?
Know why.
We're on a streak of
no.
shows
so
with
two,
goats.
Two goats. Two new baby goats, like we said last time, but we found out they're both girls.
Really?
They're both females. Yeah. So we're going to get to keep them both. Look,
that was
going to
be
there.
Billy Kidman.
Yeah, it can't. Well, it can be Billy Eilish Kidman, maybe.
Oh,
you know what
Billie
I mean?
Eilish
God,
Kidman.
What did we even send out a questionnaire for? Yeah. I'm crapping, spitting stuff out over here that we should be branding and putting on T-shirts.
And who
Where
was
the
that
other
one?
Wasn't there
be?
Another one?
Yeah.
Oh, look at her.
Oh, that looked like that was Rip Taylor. No, the Rip Taylor was the other one.
Rip Taylor was the other one. We're gonna get back. Oh, hey, and one at one. I think I told you this last time, but I don't care. Right when I held it up, it just yelled in my right in my ear so loud, and it was I popped on it.
You thought it's dangle? What was it? It's dangle or dongle?
Waddlers. I don't even know if that's what they're called. Dom, I'd love a little R&R.
Shivani calls them the goozle.
A little R&D on that.
He goozled
maybe not the development part, but the research. and find out if they're called waddlers on some goats.
Waddlers.
Listen, I'm excited.
All right. We got to get to our guest.
I know. I want to. What do we have to do before that?
Meme of the week where we don't know what's happening, but it puts us in a good mood, which I already think are. But
Dom said waddles.
Waddles.
Okay. All right. I don't believe him, but okay. I think
I
he's looking at a different
can you
site.
Milk me?
I think it's Greg. Can you milk me, Greg? Waddles it is then, Dom. What are we doing? Mimi.
Sling up with the meme of the week.
Me.
How me and my homie greet each other. Oh yeah.
It's the real Mick Foley put that up there. Good night,
that?
Irene. They're waving at each other.
That's a hey, lot guys. Going on.
What's up, bro? You doing all right? It's good to
They're
see
friends.
You, man. Good to see you.
How about that? Is that how you and our next guest are going to greet each other?
Probably not. It will be virtual hugs and hearts galore.
Well, bring him in. He's your friend.
Oh, my God. I don't even know how many titles he's held.
A bunch.
All of them. I don't know how many companies he's wrestled in. Most of them. I'm going to ask him about all of them. I don't know how long exactly we've been friends, but I know it's right around 30 years. But ladies and gentlemen, you may know him as X-Pac. You may know him as the 1-2-3 Kid. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you my friend, Sean Waltman.
Yeah, how
yes.
about it?
Yay, Sean Waltman. Hey, Sean, how many other names did you have?
Brian, if you call me Sean one more time, I swear...
yeah, we don't do that. We don't do that. But I know people know your real name. What do I call you, kid?
Kiddo Bambino. I mean, you don't have to do the Bambino part. My God.
I know, but at least do the kiddo part.
Yeah.
No, look, that's you've always been Kiddo Bambino to me, and I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense.
It's like there are certain people that – if they call me by my real name, like Kurt Hennig, when I went to WCW and he finally got down there,
yeah,
he quit calling me Kid. He called me Sean. And I'm like, what the?
That's just like, weird, right?
You know, well, he was trying to be respectful because I didn't want to be the kid anymore. But like, on TV, I didn't want to be the kid anymore.
I still want to be the dude.
I said it hurt my feelings.
Oh, bless his heart. Man, I only traveled with Kurt. I didn't even travel with him. I just worked with him at TNA for a pickup.
Yeah.
And he just said, "Where's the Armstrong sitting?" And just put his bag up there. And it was the next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. We watched Sabu roll off a table and land on the concrete. and then next was me. Anyway, things have been better. Kiddo, it's great to see you, dude. Like, I would wish I could hug your neck.
Me too, man. Me too.
Where are you?
I'm in my studio in my house right next 3 feet from my bedroom.
Really?
Yeah.
The place looks great. Yeah, the place looks great. I was about to say that looks like you're in some kind of studio. Exactly.
I only use it for doing stuff like this in these days, and like I don't do these like hardly ever anymore. Like,
yeah. Wait, what's
I just do them for my friends.
Do you? Well, I appreciate this one.
How many times did you do it for me, Ryan?
I don't know, and it doesn't matter because I wasn't counting because it would.
I wasn't either, but
you know
still.
What I mean? It's you find out who your friends are when you have a podcast that they come on for free. But hey, so what's that about though, kiddo? Are you distancing yourself from the business, or is that just in your head, or are you just don't want the argument?
Yeah, just the podcast part. I'm still, I'll do anything else. Like, you know, like I'm going down. I just went to Stanford to spit it out.
Yeah, you will.
I just went to Stanford and did a bunch of stuff. And beginning of January, I'm going to go down and shoot some rivalry stuff for A&E.
Oh, yeah.
Down in Orlando. Yeah. So, like, I'm doing stuff, man. I would get so like stressed out having to talk about current events and so many of these people that I know, like I just figured like, man, I was always like after we wrapped the show, I was always, you know, getting an ulcer worrying about getting heat with somebody, getting heat with the company or, and I know I shouldn't care, but I do, man. I love everyone.
I get it, dude. And
I don't want to hurt no one's feelings.
Exactly. And you want to do business too, but I also, I also have a ton of friends, but you mentioned not calling your name. Like some people call Hunter's Paul now. You know what I mean? And that's not what he is. And he calls me Diggity, and he always has. You know what I mean? We all have our little names, and I don't know why I dove back to that. But you just mentioned like maybe not doing the podcast anymore. But so it's just. You're just bowing out of talking about it in public.
Yes.
I get that, dude.
Oh, I still have plenty of opinions.
Yeah, 100%. And we all do, and we all know they're like buttholes. We all got them, and most of them stink. But the truth is, you got an educated opinion, bro. It's an educated, you know, and that's not Hardy Boy 69 saying something on Twitter. This is friggin' Hall of Famer. How many times and how many times maybe more? You know, holy crap, you're allowed to say stuff, but we're not no more. You know what I mean? It's not because now I'm just an old fart. What do you know? You're a mid-carder anyway. You know what I mean? Like you just hear it all and you go like, wow, man,
Remember when we were younger and we used to think that way about guys like
100%. 100%. I remember thinking Strongbow and all them people telling me to save my money. You don't know me. You know what I mean? Like, who are you talking to? I'm making money, Jack.
I will tell you one thing. He was very wise, and I love Chief, but there was one thing he told me that did not ring true. He was like, none of these people are your friends. When you're out hurt and think anyone's going to call you, he was wrong. I mean, maybe he didn't have friends, but I got a ton of friends like you. That's dude.
Hey, maybe you'd speak for yourself, Chief.
Yeah.
I get that. Look, at people say things and it. So the one thing I always take umbrage with is DDP said, like, if you're not trying to be the champion, you shouldn't be in this business. Like that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Dusty
apparently said it to him. And so it's just things that somebody said that when when you hear it out of the context, you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense at all. I guess it kind of does, but like, I don't know, man.
I just want to do what it takes to be the world champion.
Bingo, bingo. It's called responsibility. It's called the weight work of the
part. Well, not the hard work part, but like all that pressure that goes into yes. it and all the yes. things that someone might have to do that you don't feel good about.
Yeah, that you're not comfortable with yeah. from a moral code standpoint. But yeah. That's business, right? And business doesn't give a crap sure. about your feelings.
Yeah.
Man, I just love talking to you.
I think I did pretty good. I think I did pretty good for not like having the goal of being a world champion.
Exactly. I mean, and that's the thing is you look at people like yourself and look, I don't think I have the accolades that you do or the work acumen either for that matter. But like I think I did all right too. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I was too hammered to think about the world title. Like, okay, we're the tag champs. Me and Billy, and I've told people this for years, me and Billy didn't know how to work. And I tagged with you and I started learning how to work. And I'd been in the business 10 years by then. You know what I mean? Like I started learning things from you, a guy who was properly trained, learning things about working and psychology. And I was like, what are you talking about, dude? Like that was the spot we called. And you were like, yeah, but does that make sense? You know what I mean? So yeah. Who trained you, dude?
Dean's father, Larry, his name is Larry, but he was, you know, called the Great Malenko.
The Great Malenko. Yeah. Was how old was he when you were trained by, did he do that training or did you have
He was like 55. Yeah. He still got in the ring.
Oh, so wow. Yeah. He was pretty young.
Yeah. And yes. he had been blackballed, so he had been training for quite a while, you know.
Why was he blackballed? Is that you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
I think he felt like he was slighted by Eddie Graham
yeah.
in the Florida territory. It's like because he really helped build that territory up with Eddie him versus Eddie
yeah.
Graham. I don't know Eddie Graham well enough to call him just by the first name, but
yeah.
And there was some stuff that happened up in Knoxville that just came out a couple of years ago.
Really?
About them trying, them making a video exposing the business. And it was like him and Ronnie wow. Garvin.
Oh, the hidden tapes. Yeah.
It was called the Plan B or something. And they were trying to take the territory from, what's their names?
Goulas?
No, down in Birmingham. You know those guys,
the Fullers.
Yeah.
I'll be daring. So no. I knew who you're talking to too. I couldn't spit it out.
You know, and then he was working with Poffos and you know the ICW thing that yeah. was like outlaw territory. And so you know,
Dave, you mentioned you didn't know Eddie Graham enough. Did you meet him at all?
I saw him. I used to see him sometimes because I was always at the matches and I was setting the ring up. You remember Gordon Nelson?
Yes, yes.
I used to set the ring up for him when I was like 10, 11 years old.
With him?
With him, for him, right. Yeah. Along with him.
I'll be darned, man. He came through here and worked with my brother Scott a bunch.
And he was one of the toughest guys ever in the wrestling business.
Yes,
and not
yes.
a lot of people know about.
Not a lot. Yeah, he was a little bitty dude, but he was tough as nails. He was old when he came here and beat up Scotty. And Scotty will tell you to this day that old man whooped my ass like every night, you know. But he learned a ton from him. He learned a ton from him, and he also got to work. Do you remember Bill Lash?
Yeah, they made the boots.
Yes, yes. He came here and worked. And, dude, he looked like the nothingest happening dude. But he was great in the ring, and he was a great heel. Scotty got to work with some real good people locally, and, like, he learned to wrestle from them people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just broke in with you spin-kicking me and breaking my nose and stuff.
I remember it like it was yesterday, man. Y'all came to Lowell. You came to Lowell, Massachusetts.
Who, me and Man Mountain and Rock.
Yeah, Daryl.
Yeah. Hey, have you heard from him or seen him anywhere?
No. I was never tight with him. We got along, but like,
yeah.
you know, we're nothing bad or good. I just,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And, but you would have loved him. He's our kind of people. You know what I mean? I've been reaching out. I haven't got in touch with him in a while, but so yeah, we did come to Lowell.
Dog, I've got a question to ask you personally. Are you tired of spam calls and people trying to get you to watch ads or maybe a telemarketer blowing you up?
Yeah, I'm tired of that. It makes me want to reach through the phone. Anyway, go ahead.
What if I said they had to pay to get to you now? Would that be something you're interested in?
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, need to know about our new friends over at Vida. We've been telling you about it now for a few weeks.
VIDA.
That's it. They've created a new form of advertising that eliminates spam and allows everyone to get paid for their time and attention. You simply go to Vida.io to download the Vida app, and then for free.
Yeah.
You select a free second phone number for free. You no longer have to worry about giving away your personal number. So when a telemarketer calls your Vida number, they'll need to pay to get a message to you, dog.
Suckers. Vida outsmarted you all. I'm just kidding.
Brands are finally realizing the value of rewarding their customers for their time and attention. And plus, one of our main sponsors here on Oh You Didn't Know, CrowdHealth, which we've told you about many times, they are using the Vida app themselves. It's not only a fun way to support the show, but you can also earn some money in the process. So try it out today. Download the app, Vida.io, VIDA.io, or you can call right now, 509-WRESTLE, and follow the link they give you. That's 509-973-7853, or as dog calls it, 509-WRESTLE. And you will help support the show. And if you call right now, you're going to earn your first $1 just for downloading the app. How about that?
I'll be darned. You're literally putting your own self and your own phone behind a paywall.
Putting worth on yourself.
Yeah. Putting paywall, install, and earn. With
download
Vida.
Now or give them a call today. And we thank Vida for supporting Oh You Didn't Know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you remember your tryout match?
So I remember the end of it was like a drop kick off the top that Brawler told me to do or something. Brawler was like, hey, your brother was up here. He did a drop kick off the top or something. So I was like, okay. And then I did it and I was like, oh, I'll never do that again. Like, oh God, that hurt so bad.
I remember you thinking the match wasn't good.
Yeah.
And I was like, trust me, it was good enough to get you a job. Like,
yeah. It was.
You had the instincts, you know?
Yeah. And that, look, I appreciate you saying that. That's what Sean is always, the other Sean, the real Sean. the real Sean. And he's actually the fake one. I don't even know what I was saying now. I'm trying to backtrack so much on what I said.
Your tryout. Your tryout.
Yeah. All the time.
So that's what. Like he always said, you got instincts. Look, I didn't know what I was doing, and I damn sure wasn't athletic, but I did have I knew what to do, you know, and I knew what I was trying to do anyway. I may not have ever done it perfectly, but I knew what I was trying to do anyway.
And you had a connection with the people, and all the other stuff can be taught.
Yeah. And if you even learn it, right. You know what I mean? Like as long as you got that connection, you still got to go when the bell rings. Well, you used to, and that'll take us down a rabbit hole that we don't want to go down. So he trained you Malinka. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, the tryout, was that the first time y'all met?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know if you remembered, but I do probably think it was. And we probably went out in the parking lot and did something that night.
No, we didn't go in the parking lot. We had a hotel room like a block away from the Lowell Auditorium.
Yeah. Yeah, that you could just go to the room. Oh, my Lord. Lowell Mass, man. We hadn't been there in a while.
Brian was like, I thought y'all were drug testers. I'm like, we are.
Here we go. We're going to take off this way. Hey, but I want to go back a little further, kiddo, and I know most of this stuff, but I know a lot of people do, but I never heard it from your mouth. What year was that you started training? You built the
like
rings
88.
'88?
Yeah.
Okay. I
had hair on my nuts.
Yeah, but Nelson Royal put some on your chest, that's for sure. did you ever work with him?
With who?
With Nelson Royal, have a match with him or anything?
I didn't even know. I've never met Nelson Royal.
Oh, who were we talking about a minute ago?
The Great Flamenco.
Oh, who were you carrying the ring with?
Oh, that's Gordon Nelson.
Gordon Nelson, different guy. He
was a bald dude. He was bigger than Nelson Royal, and he was a bad dude, man. Winnipeg, Canada.
It's weird how a lot of those guys from Winnipeg, from Canada, you know, and they just end up like, I think Mongolian Stomper. It's like a guy from Canada. He just ended up living in Knoxville, being a cop. Yep. You know what I mean? Oh man, he was the best, Mongolian Archie Golding. So 88, he trained you. Where'd you have your first match in Tampa?
Yeah, man. There's like the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa.
Yeah.
Not there. It was like
behind that.
It was like
good.
5 blocks away at this place called Kenley Park Rec Center, in front of about 50 or 80 people.
Yeah, sold out, bro.
And I wrestled a guy I went to wrestling school with named Cesar Vera, and we had a good one, but it was, dude, it was like we were in a race to get to the finish line.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you still see that in a lot of matches today on the Groove Tube, where would you please let something resonate?
Just let something breathe.
So I remember the first time I saw you was on, I used to get Texas Wrestling on ESPN, I think it was, in Florida here. And I saw you, I think you were either working against or with Chaz.
Yeah.
Like what was Tugboat's kid? Is that Tugboat's kid? And
Not Tugboat from WWE.
Tarzan or
yeah, Tugboat from yeah, different Tugboat different Taylor.
Taylor, that's it. That Tugboat Taylor.
Good.
Yeah, he was good. He was good, and he had all I remember though is his trunks were like really skinny.
He looked like he was wearing underwear, and his nuts were flopping around. Yes. I'm surprised that shit didn't come out.
Me too. But that was all I remember. Literally, that's where I was going, was the trunks, bro. Like, what are you doing? You got friggin' boyfriend panties on or something. Yeah. Like, I don't even know what. But the first time I saw you, you did like a dive from the top rope over than the studio to like a little wooden platform that was like this high off the ground. Yeah, and you just landed on the thing. Like, I don't know if you hit somebody or not, but God, it was such a bump. And I just thought, oh my God, what is he doing?
Yeah, they made a big deal out of it because it was like 21 foot jump.
Dude, it was a long way away, and it was.
They made a big.
So, deal. What year? What that was in Texas? What year was that?
91.
So, what was Mankind doing? Because I'm gonna say that. See if we don't have a hardcore legend that we're talking to even prior to. Yeah.
So Mick Foley had been working there for GWF also.
Yeah.
But he was also working for WCW at the same time.
Okay.
And then, like, when I came in, he was gone. And he was – they just signed him.
Was he doing that crazy stuff there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't doing the barbed wire and, you know, falling from the ceiling. Terry Gordy gave him a power bomb on the floor, you know, on the mat.
He did
all that stuff, yeah. Yeah, have you ever been to the Sportatorium?
I have not.
I was marked out like driving up to that place.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I grew up on, you know, all kinds of wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
But, bro, when you walked in that place, what a fucking dump, man. Oh, my God.
Don't meet your idol venues. But you know what else is that place? Was the ECW Arena is a dump. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you find these great venues that, like, holy mackerel. What was the other one? The Eddie Graham one in Tampa.
That was even worse.
Yeah.
I grew up on I used to skip school on Wednesdays. Well, not just Wednesdays, but... on Wednesdays, I would go there. Like, they shoot TV at 10 in the morning and then drive to Miami for a house show that
night. They did the old Memphis loop in South Florida.
mid-80s. You watched Florida wrestling in the mid-80s, you'll see me in the front row, a little skinny-ass me with, like, a red tank top.
Really?
Big old ass head. You know it's me right away, man. Even though it's a grainy video,
yeah,
you just know it's me.
Hey, so let me ask you this without getting too deep.
You can get as deep as you want.
That Eddie Graham was into some stuff, right? Like he moved to Florida for a reason. Like he was getting away from something or instilling or representing something down south or something was going down in Eddie Graham town. And that's cool with me. Like, but even looking at him, you go, yeah, he's John Gotti's brother. You know what I mean?
I don't know specifics on any of that. But
yeah,
like
me either. I'm just bullcrap.
I'll tell you this about Eddie Graham, and I could tell this from just as a child. He was one of the most powerful men in the whole state of Florida.
Yeah.
Here.
You're not talking about bench pressing either.
No.
Yeah.
No, he was in with,
you're talking about political power.
Politically, yes. And he created the Florida Youth Boys Ranch.
Yes.
Titus went to that. Titus grew up at that.
Yeah.
You know?
That's incredible. And that's government money and all kind of connections through that.
And if he wouldn't killed himself, Brian, I think it would have been another couple of years before Vince ever came to Florida and ran any shows.
Yeah, because he had it like that.
Yes.
Eddie did. And look, that's awesome for him. That's the way business was done. You know what I mean? It's the way it's still done at some levels.
His philosophy. Like, I liked his, you know, he was very focused on guys knowing how to really wrestle. And,
yeah.
You know, even though it was a crazy territory with a lot of brawling on top, they still had, you know, like Jack Briscoe, Restore Pong, stuff like that.
Yeah, wrestling matches.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That's so when I watched that, I'm not as smart a mark as I want to be. I'd like to say, like, I never been to Japan. I never don't know Japan wrestling. I don't know. Like, but when I find out things. Say that again.
You'd hate it.
Why? Why would you hate it?
No, actually, you'd get over there. Like, it wouldn't be their style, but you're special. You would have gotten over.
Yeah, so, somehow.
Just by doing you.
Yeah, I would have loved to have gone back when I was hungry and young and could have done both. Because I feel like I kind of did that style in Germany. Like, I worked with a lot of Japanese guys, a lot of British kids, German kids.
Yeah.
Just wrestled me into the ground. You know what I mean? I had no idea what I was doing. But when I got a shot, I'd say a backdrop, and they'd go for a backdrop, and I'd kick them as hard as I could. And you know what I mean?
Like,
that's how I'm going to do it when I get my opportunity. And so, I don't know. I feel like my thing is, I never been all those places. I never done all that.
I never got to go to Germany like you did, work over there like that and do that style. I wish I'd been.
Yeah, that was good. That's what I'm talking about, is when I get to learn stuff about, when I saw the, of course it's on A&E or whatever, that Dark Side of the Ring. When I saw that on the Florida territory, I learned a lot about that territory. My dad worked down there, not all the time, but he had been through there a time or two. We lived down there when I was really young for like 8 months or something. And but you grew up with that territory. That dude, you look at pictures of him, Eddie Graham, he's a man's man. You know what I mean? Like, he is he's Bruno Sammartino with bleached hair. You know what I mean? Like, he was a barrel-chested man's man. And you just see him, and you just go, damn, he's somebody. You know what I mean? It broke my heart. Like, how do that many people take their own lives in one family? I guess
I've been there. I'm going to say, but I understand it. You know, you can get to that point, but.
Yeah.
You just think that, like, you know.
I didn't mean to bring that up, bro. I'm sorry.
No, I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care. I'm just fine with all that shit, man.
Okay.
Trust me, man.
Well, you came through
it.
That's for damn sure.
If I hadn't gotten comfortable with all that, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now.
Amen.
You know.
Yeah.
I remember I vividly remember it was Super Bowl Sunday, man. Waking up and finding out that he had done that.
That he had done that. And yeah. That's so, for somebody, especially not close to him, for somebody to hear that from that guy who was that yeah. hero, and he took his own life. And did you understand that at that age?
He shot himself in the head twice.
Twice.
That didn't even make it's not humanly possible. That's why he did it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
Could you imagine, boom, like hit the first one and not get the job done? And it'd be like, oh man, I got to do the next.
No, I can't. Look, I can't imagine doing it the first time.
Yeah.
Me neither. Not that way.
Yeah. The I don't know if you've seen the Equalizer 3 yet with Denzel, yeah. but God almighty, it's at the beginning when he gets shot in the back and he's sitting yeah. down and he pulls the gun up to do it and it clicks. Yes. That was one of the strongest. I'm getting goosebumps right now.
Yeah.
I'm getting goosebumps, but that's, man, I just can't imagine that. But I thought about it. Thought about it a ton of times. And I kept thinking, like, somebody, my kids are going to find me dead or something. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to put that on anybody else. So I don't know. Let's get off that subject. That's downer. But so he did all that, whatever. The business kind of went under in Florida after that, right?
I watched it, man. I watched it just. Yeah. It took a couple of years, but yeah. As soon as he was gone, that place was gone.
Yeah,
was it connections lost? Was
it had to have been,
mad at
right?
him? Was it everything?
It was his leadership was gone, you
yeah.
know.
Wow. And
he was brilliant, and he had other people come in and look for him, yeah. but still, he was the guy, kind of like, you know. You got to write a team and then, you know, that's
yeah,
why.
You got bookers ball. And you approve it or you disapprove it. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, man. And it's just that respect that people have, you know?
Yeah. Was it that many years after that Vince, I mean, the WWE just kind of took over the world? I mean, WCW had that too, but was there a void of wrestling in Florida?
It was like... No, like it was just okay. It was that week and that, but yeah. There was always independent, like Malenko ran opposition.
Yeah, yeah.
I just didn't know it existed. You know?
right.
I couldn't believe it.
Was there a shoot opposition? Like, did he draw too, or was he making money too?
Couple hundred people here and there, and yeah. they would have like a local TV, and they would him and his son Joe would
yeah.
challenge Eddie and Mike. And Mike was a tough guy,
yeah,
really
yeah.
tough guy. But Joe Malenko is a killer. He was trained by
who trained Joe?
Paul Gotch.
Oh wow!
Yeah, no, he
so
was.
He's a hooker.
Oh yeah.
Hey, what about oh god, dirt.
Yeah, but so
train.
Like it was a year later they were running Vince ran the Sundome with Greg Valentine versus Hulk on top.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I was about to say, I bet it did. Did Hulk come through there?
Florida?
Yeah.
Only like when he was, you know, like I barely remember him. I was
Very
barely
beginning.
Watching at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. About the same like time that he came through Pensacola and
yep. He
and,
literally
Memphis
they scooped him
that.
Up early, man, and just put him yeah. in some places to he worked with my dad here. He worked yeah. with people that I guess they thought yeah. could teach him a thing or two. But yeah, that was cool to see. So you're not wrestling when that goes away. How old you were are you when that happened?
Oh yeah. I'm like, what was that? Was it 84? When was the Bears? When were the Super Bowl Shuffle and all that? Is that 84?
Right, I think.
85
yeah.
Bears.
Oh, 85?
85, yeah, yeah. It was 85. And so, yeah, I'm 12 or 13 at the time. I'm still a
wow.
few years away from, you know.
Yeah, taking a bump.
I'm just a little kid at the time, like a little kid.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was a late bloomer, man. I didn't go through puberty till everybody, you know, yesterday. Everybody else already had started, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I didn't start my period till I was 17. Weird. Hey, so when do you start wrestling?
I go, this lady named Phyllis Lee, she would come to some of the shows.
She's famous.
She is famous. Like, she used to manage Dan Severn, got him into the UFC. Like,
I've heard her. Phyllis Lee's been around. I've heard her name.
Al Snow, like
Al Severn. Snow. Yeah, Meany talked about her.
Yeah,
yeah. And that Al had that fucking styrofoam head.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Phyllis. Like, that was him. For real.
Yeah, that's great. That's what. Well, yeah, I've heard both of them talk about her.
Yeah. Anyways, if it wasn't for her, you wouldn't know who. No one would even know. I wouldn't have gotten wrestling, probably.
Really?
You know? Yeah. She helped Malenko with his school, and she talked him into let me train, and I didn't have any money, Brian.
Dog.
What? What?
I got a question. I got a question, dog.
What is it?
Okay, give me your top three things that suck.
Well, insurance.
Oh, buddy.
Health insurance.
Number one.
And insurance.
Yep. Health insurance.
It's too expensive. Sucks. Yes. It's too expensive. Yep. It's frustrating, and it makes me angry. So I don't like it.
You're confusing the old man, people. That's what health insurance does.
That's what it does.
Sending money to big insurance companies that profit off of not paying your bills. 48 million claims on Obamacare last year were denied. That's 1/5 of the claims that are going to get rejected. Don't take that chance. Check out our friends over at Crowd Health. That's the better way, dog. The new alternative.
I'm talking about community, and that's what this does, is really form a community where you help each other out when each other needs it, and only when. And so I think it's definitely a better option when you think about you're helping your friends out, you're helping the people in your community out, rather than I'm paying a really high premium and never seeing anything for it. So it is an alternative, and I think it's an alternative that people are going to be choosing.
Crowd Health was created to get rid of the headaches of health insurance. For $175 for an individual or $575 for a family of four or more, you get access to a community, like Dog said, of people who are willing to help out in the event of emergency. You also get telemedicine visits, discounted prescriptions, and more. All this without doctors' networks getting in the way. There's nothing worse.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Your doctor isn't in our network.
What?
So now I got to go to a guy. Anyway, I'm not going to get into what I got to show them, but like, I'm just down to showing one guy. You know what I mean? I want to show my guy.
Been showing him to my guy for years, and he was fine. And now you're telling me he's not in your network. Okay.
Right.
Well, let Crowd Health help you with your health care needs. You can get started today for just $99 a month for your first 3 months when you use the code WRESTLE to get the health care you deserve. Crowd Health is not insurance. Learn more at joincrowdhealth.com. That's joincrowdhealth.com. Use code WRESTLE to get started today for just $99 a month for the first 3 months. And we thank Crowd Health for supporting Oh, You Didn't Know.
You know, he trained me, man. Just like, I guess he could tell I needed some guidance. I had no father figure or anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
And
you stay in contact with them?
With who?
Phyllis
passed away.
Joe did?
No, Joe's still around. Okay. I see Dean every now and then. I saw Dean at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But, you know, I talked to Joe, every once in a great while.
Yeah.
He's really cool. He's rich as fuck. He was smart. He went to school to be a pharmacist, and then he ended up owning a pharmacy, and then...
Yeah. Next thing you know, old Joe's a millionaire. and who Smart. Needs a headlock or a takeover?
Hey, well, let me go back. Let me rewind just a little bit.
Okay.
You got your fandom. You're there as a kid. You're going to the front row. But like you said, you're a little kid. How does it get to Phyllis knowing that you wanted to try out? Are you telling people? Are you just hanging around?
Because I'm so, like, so I started doing karate and was like 10, 11, like something like that. And, so I was doing that, and I had, when I first got into high school, like I started wrestling and was going to wrestling practice and everything. And they had like a wrestling class in school.
Yeah.
And then I just ended up quitting, and I wouldn't cut my hair, so they wouldn't let me on the team. But I was really good.
Really?
The short. Oh yeah. Like, yeah. I didn't get like state champion good because I didn't continue to
wrestle. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, I was backyard wrestling. I had built a ring in the backyard, and a bunch of people would come over. Yeah. And so, she knew about that. So she knew, like, I was always hanging around her at the matches. And so she just knew, man. And
who are you imitating in the backyard? Like, who was it for you then?
No, we didn't do that, man. We had our own characters, you know?
Yeah!
That's what I like to hear.
Yes.
Oh, that's what – look, I remember you had a soft spot in your heart for the Hardys always, and that it makes sense now. You guys come from the same – cut from the same cloth, you know what I mean? As far as early on.
And I picked it up. And so anyways – I like work my way, like, you know, I didn't pay Malenko. So like I used to make the tickets and the posters.
Okay.
And yeah.
Yeah. And work it off.
Yeah. And I stayed in the ring. This is how I got really good. And my technique got really good is, you know, I stayed in the ring the whole day for hours and got in there, and I did everything with everybody.
Yeah.
They practice on me, and I did it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I got like 10 times more ring time than anybody else
than
in
any
the school.
Of them. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was all for it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. You wanted it, man. This is, you found something you wanted. And you went for it, dude. And man, did you make it? Where were you working when you got the call from Vince to go up there?
Ooh. Man, so I had a tryout in WCW at Center Stage over there.
Yeah.
They had this guy named Kip Fry. I know this is kind of...
It's inside baseball, but I know the dude.
But I mean, this is a long answer to your question.
okay, yeah, it's okay. We got time.
But I like telling stories.
Yeah.
So Kip Fry, like, got the, you know... He was the boss there. They brought him in as the boss, and he had heard about me through the, you know, the newsletters, the dirt sheets or whatever, however you want to call it. So he brought me in for a tryout, and I got to work with Bob Cook, who was great.
Holy mackerel! Yeah, Bob Cook is great. Did you know him from Florida?
Yeah. I knew him real well. He was really good to me before I got into wrestling.
Yeah, he's really good. He's a really good dude, and he's really good in the ring.
And great. He was a great worker.
Yeah.
Not just a great punch, but just everything. Everything.
Everything was good with him. Look, he got a shot at Flair and stuff on TV. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't just let anybody do that crap. Bob's good, man.
And so I had this really good match. I mean, I didn't show wrestling and a lot of psychology, but they just told me, another Magnum TA called me, go out there and just do all your stuff. So that's what I did. and I was over in that building. They knew who I was.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure I had a job, and I never thought WWE was going to call me ever.
Really?
You know, I just didn't think I was, you know,
big enough,
you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't what they were casting. And
exactly.
And so, as soon as I had that tryout, Kip Fry was gone literally like the next day. And they and they brought Watts in, Bill Watts.
Yeah.
And I wasn't Watts' idea, so you know. And plus, Bill probably watched my tryout and just saw me flying all over the damn place.
Yeah.
I did a couple cool suplexes, but, you know, he probably was like, what is this shit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he probably was, and somebody should have nudged. Somebody should have nudged him and said, "The future." but I get it, so because, like you said,
I was bummed, man. I was bummed, and but then, I had this match with Jerry Lynn, and I were a team at Minnesota, and we would go to Japan a little bit for a smaller company.
Yeah.
Well, long, I was going to say long story short, but I can't really say that.
Long story longer.
Yeah.
No, tell it, dude. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So anyway, Hawk quit WWE or got fired or whatever it was. And he ended up teaming with Kensuke Sasaki, and they were called the Hellraisers.
Yeah.
Well, their debut was on this show in the bar that Jerry and I had our matches at. And so I kind of booked the match. I put a lot of the matches together. I was the booker.
Yeah.
And so I booked Jerry and I versus Masa Saito and Brad Rangins. And Masa loved me. And they, and he booked me. They brought me the New Japan Super Junior tournament.
After that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. And so,
yeah. So I'm getting ready for that. And I get a call from Sergeant Slaughter saying they're having tapings. And I've told this story a lot, but I don't mind telling it again to you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
I'm not just saying that, I swear.
I know you're shooting.
It's a shizu.
Oh, I love it. He's shizooting, brother.
Yeah. From the his art. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Fuck.
I don't even know where
we
were.
I'm listening to, so I'm promoting this show at the same time that all this is going on.
Yeah.
It's like Terry Funk versus Road Warrior Hawk on top, me versus Sabu. Yeah, that's it. How'd you know?
Wow.
Yeah, I promoted that with Dennis Carluzzo, and I made that poster, by the way.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And so, like, this whole time, and Sarge called me, right, and he's telling me, we want to, like, bring you in. We're doing a TV tapings, and we're having a tryout. And I'm not getting it, man. I'm like, who's having TV tapings day after WrestleMania in Phoenix? And then it dawned on me, it's WWE.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't believe it, man. And holy so man. I got, all of a sudden, I went from not getting a job and, you know, WCW and thinking, being kind of bummed. And just coming off a real bad head injury too, that could have killed me.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
It was in
New Jersey for Larry Sharp and Dennis Carluzzo. I got it, jumped off the top, crashing. I had a blood clot on my brain. It was bad.
Oh, shoot.
So anyway, back to the, Sergeant Slaughter thing. So I went from, you know, the cup being empty to the cup runneth over almost, right? Like,
yeah. How was that when you got that call and realized it was holy mackerel?
Yeah, well, I did everything I could, like, to get, I was already, you know, working frequently.
Yeah.
Young, I'm freaking young, man. I'm like 20 or 19, 20, maybe. Yeah, like 20.
So, wow.
Hey, yeah, I just knew, you just got to put me in there, man, and I'm going to get this job.
Yeah.
That was my, like, I had no doubt.
So did you have a tryout match with them?
They brought me to Phoenix, and, man, I was so concerned that I was going to get one of the underneath guys that's just always there, like a Virgil or, you know.
Whoever.
Not going to name any more names because I don't want to hurt feelings.
Yeah.
And because they're not going to go out there and do all my shit with me.
No. And they're not going to want to, and they're not going to.
Right. So Tony Garea comes up to me and he goes, you see anyone here you think you could have a good match with? And I went, who's Spicoli? I mean, he didn't even get finished saying it.
Yeah. Did you work with Louis before?
No. I just knew he was really good.
You just knew of him and knew him. Yeah.
Yeah.
What year was that? 94?
93. Yeah, it was the day after WrestleMania 9 in Caesar's Palace when Brett dropped the belt to Yoko and then Hulk came in 2 seconds later and won the title from Yoko.
All I remember from wasn't that
it's
the
like
one
the
with,
worst WrestleMania ever.
Was that the one with Elegante?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's all I remember from that one.
Yeah.
Oh Lord! So it was Kurt the day
Hennig, and Kurt Hennig and Lex going out there, and Lex being all excited to work with Kurt, and then Kurt getting out there, and as soon as he locked up, he went, "Where are we at? What are we doing?"
Oh Lord!
Lex was like, "Oh my God!" Anyways,
been there a time or thousand.
I had this match. He went over that night. And, but like, I did a lot of cool shit. I did all my stuff.
Yeah.
And got a nice, you know, nice feedback as soon as I came back.
Who saw you that kind of, you think, like, went and said, hey, he's, let's get
Well, him. I know, I'm going to tell you who came up to me right away.
Oh, was okay.
Your favorite, Brett the Hitman Hart.
Look, but him coming up to you, and look, a lot of my stuff is bull crap for the business, you know, for the podcast heat. But as far as him coming up to you after that, holy crap, that's Bret Hart.
It was huge for me. Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been huge for
me. It was huge for me. And I can't remember if it was I think it was the first night. But anyways, they asked me to come back the second night in Tucson. So they brought me back the second night. They had me work with Louis again. They gave me music and had me go over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That had to feel good.
And then, so afterwards, Brian, and you'll appreciate this.
Yeah.
I stood outside of Vince's office for hours waiting for him to come out so I could just get even eye contact.
Yeah.
And so... Kurt had, and I already knew Kurt from Minnesota. I hung out with him a little bit at the gym and everything.
Yeah.
And worked out with him at Brad's. Like, I actually tussled with Kurt out of Brad Reagan's camp. And so Kurt walks up to me and he goes, "You want a job?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he walks in to Vince's office.
No way.
And then, like, I don't know if he even said anything about me. Then he walked back out. And then Vince walks out a little bit later and he goes, "I really appreciate you, Cut." He like came up to me and
I'll be darned. You know how when he wants to, man, he'd charm your pants off. You know what I mean? You just go like, "Oh my God, he sounds good. He said he likes me. He really likes me." That's so cool, dude. And that's in 93, you said?
Yeah. And then it was like, I don't know, it seemed like forever, but it was only probably a couple of weeks. Him and Pat called me, and they ran the whole storyline by me. The whole thing. The whole Razor, like all of that, man.
Yeah.
And he's telling me, "Yeah, we have Razor Ramon. He's one of our top guys." And I'm like, "I know exactly.
I know who he is."
Yeah. You know how he is, right? He makes sure.
He sells it to you, man. And you go, like, and it makes you go like, "Yeah, I know him. I know how it works."
And he was like, and then he was like, "How do you feel about it? Like, what do you think of that?" And I'm like, "It's the best thing about it."
Yeah. It's the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
It was.
Of course it was.
It was. I couldn't believe that was out. Like, usually it's just come in like vignettes if you're lucky and have a few squash matches and then either you're over or you aren't.
Yeah, they had I guarantee you Pat or somebody had that when they saw you go, they thought, "Oh my God, this is the story we've been waiting to tell."
Pat knew me through this dude named Roger Buck, a friend of his from Minneapolis, who seen me on the show. So
I guarantee you, Pat was just like, "Oh my God, I've been waiting to do this. We did this in '72, and so, you know what I mean? Like, and then we're gonna, and then he comes in and he wins, and bada bing."
Yeah.
Oh, I could hear him pitching it, man.
I missed that.
Heck yeah.
I missed that. The passion that he had when he would run that stuff by us like that.
When he had, and later in life, like, he didn't care about the wrestling part so much, but he still had that same passion for the business and the camaraderie. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it would be great to see him, but then it was just like, Dolph goes over and we would all laugh. We're like, okay.
Oh, in Jersey when he won the title?
Okay, Pat, we get it.
He was so excited about that.
But people don't realize how much he influenced that whole, every wrestler in the Attitude Era was definitely influenced by Pat Patterson, and I would imagine every wrestler from 10 years prior. You know what I mean? Maybe 20 years prior.
At least if you were at a certain level, there were guys like I don't think got to experience as much of that magic.
Maybe not. And look, I never witnessed it for myself, but I sat in on some of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I heard, and so you heard it about you. That sounded cool. Just hearing that, though, and hearing Kurt, I mean, yeah, Kurt Hennig walking in there. Like he may not. He may have just said, thank you, sir. I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, he was the best. Oh man, so that's how much money did you, and that don't dollar figures, but I mean, were you scraping and clawing to keep up and all that? And then
you mean
this
before
happened,
or after I came to WWF?
Before. Before the first time before.
Yeah, I mean, I was getting by somehow.
Were
you
married?
Yeah, and I had a son.
Okay.
My son, you know.
And your son has a son now, right?
Yeah. I was just visiting him, too.
I can't wait to talk. I started talking about my grandkid to him earlier, and I go, kid's got a grandkid, too. I can't wait to talk about it. So, dude, is that the best thing in the history of the world, or what?
Just amazing.
So my father, and I've told this story before, but when Amberly was born, was my first blood grandchild. We were looking at her through the glass, and my dad just put his hand on my hand, and he said, "You just learned a new love."
Yeah,
and I had no idea what he meant
until
about six months in.
Yeah,
and I couldn't have said it better myself. I learned a new level, a new kind of
That's
love,
because
it's totally different than any other kind I've felt, and more so. Like I don't know. I want to take a bite out of their cheeks.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. But so you were just visiting him.
And I see my son in him, and I see, like,
yeah.
You know, I see, you know what I mean? And I see me and my son, and it's like,
yes.
You know, like,
it's the best thing ever.
Regardless of how you feel about, like, things and, like, what happens when you die, like, you live forever just, like, because of that, man.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Like, I'm damn sure going to live till I die. I babysit mine. I'm going to have to stop doing that so much, but I babysit mine almost every day of the week. You know what I mean? And so I'm with one of them anyway. My three other ones live in Orlando, and I don't get to see them as much, you know, and it's I get hot because I think, like, I'm seeing this one so much. I'm not getting to see them. Am I paying this one too much attention on social media or something? You know, I don't want to offend any of them, but anyway, dude, grandkids, the best thing ever. How old is he?
Year and a half, 16 months. Not quite a year and a half. Yeah.
And how old's yours, dog?
Dang. So mine's, I have three that are two and a half. But the two twins are in Orlando. But dude, they're so great too. And it's totally different human beings, yet born at the exact same time and live together. And so it's just crazy how different.
You're the first one of my friends that had grandkids. And then me.
Yeah.
And then the rest of my friends are running behind.
Yeah, they are running behind, and they don't know what they're missing. I'm telling my youngest daughter, like, you guys don't have to wait till you get married. Just go ahead. I think I'm going to win Father of the Year. I just want more grandkids to love, man, because it is cool. So 93, you get the gig. How long until you're like, okay, this is, how long until you're spoiled?
Spoiled?
Yeah, with money. Did it take long?
It was like after we started DX.
Really? Okay.
Well, look, WWF, that 93, 94, 95.
That was a bad, that 95 when I first came in was bad.
You'll shit when you hear my first 6 months. $36,000.
Yeah, you're right. I just pooped.
Dude.
No, that's not good.
Yeah.
Well, it's not what I was thinking. Because I thought the thing with you should have got Razor. Paid for that thing with Razor.
Guys getting paid there, but not us.
No. I get it. And I look, when I came in as the roadie, it was on the tail end of that. Like we were doing those double shots and tent cities and all that stuff. So we were working hard and not making. I was ending up owing them after I got draws. You got your draw, right? Yeah.
If you did the Florida run and got your draw, you might get a negative on your check.
Yeah, that's just how it went early on. But you're right. But like I was hurting so bad when I got that first call where they said, okay, we'll give you $100,000 a year. I was just like, oh my God, I'm rich. I didn't realize you weren't rich when you made $100,000 a year.
No way. Not if you had any kind of a life on the road.
Yeah. You had to eat. You have to do something. I did way too much of something, but I don't know that I would change it. You know, I think about my daughter and I talked about that stunt man who got paralyzed on the Harry Potter stuff. His documentary just came out about him, and Daniel Radcliffe really stepped up and took care of that dude. Like, but I talked to my daughter and I said, I guarantee you, if you talk to that stunt dude, he would not go back and change one thing. Like, he did that for so long on all those movies.
Yeah.
I made a ton of mistakes in this, but I don't know, man. I wouldn't change a thing. I had a
blast. It's just not a good thing to even think about like that, man, because we can't do it.
Yeah, you can't. We can't do it, man. You can't go back. You can't.
This is our journey.
Yeah,
this
yes.
was our journey, man.
And you know what is so weird, and it's kind of, I say it half-heartedly, but I totally believe it. Like, the journey is the destination. You know what I mean? Like, that's some Buddha crap, but it's straight up truth. It's the truth. The whole journey is it. And so now, for me, and I just have to keep that in here. You know what I mean? And keep that in, and this is just existing and being right here, right now. It's all I got to do, man. That's all I got to do. And if I can keep that in my head, it's just not easy. 93.
Hey, do you ever go back, Brian? Do you get in the time machine and go back and relive the old matches that you don't remember having?
So I have, since on this podcast, I have had to watch a few and go back and look at them. Look, I think we were good. I don't want to be braggadocious, but I don't want to bullcrap them either. Like, we were friggin' good, man.
Yeah.
DX, the matches we had, like I saw one not long ago, it was just a hardcore fatal four-way or whatever. It was just a eight-man, like, with weapons with the Nation and all kind of crap, man. I don't know. I just thought it was great. Like,
it was fun,
we were
man.
Good.
Yeah. It was you talk about being in the thick of things.
That's Brad Armstrong. Look, I'm just happy to be here in the thick of things, and I'm going to see what happens. Hey, we were in the thick of things, weren't we?
Yeah.
In about every segment.
Every week, man.
Let me ask you this, kiddo, and this is from my heart, or from my brain, or lack thereof. Were you smart to all the stories and all the crap that was going on and that we were doing every week, or did you just show up and do it like I did?
No, I was like,
you had it in your head. Like, I honestly never.
Vince Russo would call me on a Wednesday and tell me what was going on until I started shitting on it. Like, when he quit fucking calling me after that.
Maybe no, that's why he didn't.
He was good like that.
Maybe that's why he didn't call me. He called me once early on. I don't know. I honestly, like, I think about, because look, I know now, having worked the past decade behind the scenes of the juggernaut, how much goes into this that not only did I not have any clue about, but I wouldn't have known what to do with it had I had a clue. Right. You know what I mean? Like, and so that's just,
I got to be honest with you, man. I wouldn't have known back then. It never dawned on me that you were just like showing up and just doing it. Like, I just assumed we were all like on the phone and like, you know, like,
I shouldn't have assumed that.
I should have known better with you.
I don't know why. I just don't ever remember hearing, hey, we're going to do this next week with you. It was just show up, and I guess I would fuss then if I wanted to fuss.
Yeah, you were good about that.
You were good about that.
Yeah, I'll wait till I get there to screw, to really screw it up.
You do it, Chuck. You do it.
Yeah. So we look. We did. Let's talk about DX for a minute, since it's my claim to fame. That's for dang sure. What made me open my eyes to the craziness of it was that 9 months or that 10 months I had off, that I got laid off and I went out on the road with Billy doing autograph signings and all that. Is it still a hot thing every friggin' weekend everywhere? Are they still doing cons and autograph sessions and all that stuff? Because man, that was, and I'm just talking to you like you're my friend, and I don't mean to sound braggadocious to people who are listening, but there was so much money in that. I was dumbfounded.
Yeah, you talking about recently, more recently?
Yeah, yeah.
See, Brian, I try to tell people, like, in the middle of DX, in the middle of that run, we used to do these third-party appearances. I got sick of it.
Yeah, yeah,
you remember Matt and JoJo? I was just like, I'm not doing it.
What was his
name? They finally were like, what was his name? $7,000.
What was Ned? Ned Needlander.
Yeah.
Mad Needle
and JoJo, man, I haven't. That's from Bayonne.
Yeah,
from Bayonne. Yeah, we used to do. They would do The Rock. They would do us. They would do. Yeah, I remember doing all those.
I made half of the amount of money I made just working for Vince. I made half of that on those appearances in 1 year.
Yeah. I don't doubt that at all. Because, dude, I was, and we
you were doing
kinda,
them every bit as much as I was. I just got sick of it, man.
Yeah. It was a lot of them, and it was on the road a lot. But man, they're doing them now. Me and Billy went out and we're doing them. It was just like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
I love it.
But it was great. But it made me think, like, man, a two-year run in DX, and 25 years later, I'm signing autographs making it's just, it was dumbfounding to me. And I don't know, like, maybe if it was like Elvis and Jesus at one table signing autographs, I'd probably wait in that line for that. But other than that, I don't think I'm waiting in line to get anybody's autograph. I thank you. Thank God for you who do that, because you supplemented my income when I was when I was wondering where the next meal was going to come.
I'm so grateful for that. Yeah. And this is the truth, man. I'm not just saying this.
Yep.
I sincerely enjoy interacting with the people that come to those.
Yeah.
I love it, man. Because when I make somebody feel good, it makes me feel good. Amen. So there's a little bit of selfishness there too. Like,
of course it is, but that's human nature. But you're using your human superpower for positive.
Yeah.
And truth be told, Billy gets pissed at me because I'm animated and on fire. Come on in here, man. And we're gonna point at your penis. We're gonna smile, take a picture. Hey, you know what I mean? And they're popping and we're laughing and Billy's like, God, shut up, dog. And I'm just like, shut up, Billy. And then we push each other. Then I call him a doo-doo head. So 83.
I'm going to do a thing, and I'm going to actually do a thing in the UK in Manchester in March.
Oh, what is it? A convention like?
For the Love of Wrestling, I think it's called.
Oh yeah, you know what? I'm pretty sure that's the one me and Billy did last year, where I had an opportunity to meet like a lot of the guys that I had never met before. On the other squad, but I also saw a bunch of old friends there, and with Tugboat, not Taylor, but the actual Tugboat, ended up pushing him through the UK airport because his ankle had swollen up or something. But I had a great time, and they treated us well, and the hotel was right there. So I don't know if it's the same place, but we had a blast, man. We had a really good time. The Nasty Boys were there, but they weren't there, but for the last day. And I told Billy, if they were here the whole time, I'd have beat up one of them. Beat somebody up by now. But
you don't have to tell me.
Yeah. I was about to say, so did they shave your eyebrow one time?
Nasty Boys? No, but Knobs kept fucking with me in WCW. And one time I knocked the shit out of him.
Oh, really? In the ring or just
no, out? No, in the House of Blues in New Orleans.
Bless his heart. Knobs.
Is he slipping you or talking shit or what?
Well, yeah, talking shit too.
Yeah, they
I guess
ribbed.
He just fucking thought I was somebody he could fuck with. And I knew, Brian from when I was a kid. Like, I had a little time where I was away from Malenko's and I was hanging out with Brett and Buzz Sawyer.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And and Nasties were there and Dustin was hanging around a little bit because they were working for that new Florida office down there.
Yeah.
But no, man. Yeah, I saw him come into House of Blues because here comes Hogan. If, you know, if Hulk's coming in, you know fucking Knobs is going to be right behind him.
Yeah.
And I like Brian, man. But
He ribs in a way that
it was too much.
You get tired of it really quick. You know what I mean? It's one of those kind of things. Like, it's still funny to you, Brian. I get it. But this Brian's had enough. and then it's, you know, do you remember I don't doubt you knocking the crap out of him. Remember the story about Ronnie and Donnie beating him up on the bus? And he sits up all bloody and says, how'd I do?
Dude. Hey, so I thought I saw him come in. I'm like, oh shit. So I thought I would, you know, try to save Abe and like, you don't see me. And I thought that I thought I was in the clear. And then all of a sudden I feel somebody grab me by the back of the hair and go, bam, bam, bam. And then, dude, I just immediately turn around like, boom, and he gets back up against the bar.
Yeah.
And then fucking Sags looks over and sees me do it and he punches me in the nose.
Oh.
And then, surprisingly, I don't go down. I just went like this, and my fucking nose is bleeding.
Yeah.
And like, here comes like Dally and Scott Norton, and they're like, break it up. And I went and wiped the blood off my nose, and then came out and like made up with those guys right away.
Yeah. It's like, sorry about that. That got out
and then
hand.
Brian told me, that punch didn't hurt anyways.
It's like, well, your partners didn't hurt either, but at least he hit me. oh, Lord, man. How many times? So what if you when you tell a story about and you don't have to tell the whole story, but like if you think about me and you doing something, what's the one thing you think about? I know there's more than one thing. We've got a bunch of times that we've done things together, but like. I always think about when me and you sat outside the Sky Bar and smoked a joint.
Oh, Billy fucking with Tori Spelling?
Yeah.
With Tori Spelling?
Yeah. Yeah, Billy was had some, I think we might all
we
had those.
We were just to get into the Sky Bar, but we got in anyways.
Yeah.
And it's up on the roof. Remember we saw Michael Douglas come? He's like, oh.
Yeah. Yes.
He's like a zombie, man.
He had been dead for 2 hours. Oh, nobody told him. Bless his heart. Yeah.
And Billy had these, and I had a pair too. They were like
the Tommy Hilfiger.
Overalls.
Yeah. And Billy had his on with no shirt on.
Yeah.
And he was walking around in there. And with Tori Spelling said something.
A little admin some shit.
Yeah. What did he end up doing to her?
I don't remember exactly what he said to her, but she was crying by the end of it. That's a proof. That's a fact.
I've seen, bless my own heart, but I've seen Billy throw strippers' panties back up on the stage at him. You know what I mean? Like, you know, put that crap on me, girl. Look at me. Bless his heart.
I just, you know, things like that. I remember you and me at the Billboard Music Awards.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, but it was cool, but it wasn't. Because do you remember? Do you remember taking ecstasy before we went in there?
Yes. Yes, and,
and we rolled it like they, and then they, and then we were stuck in a limo, and they wouldn't fucking get us to the thing because they were waiting for.
They were waiting somebody to arrive.
For
right?
Austin.
Yeah.
For Austin, and we made it. Finally, we got there, and I was on the way down from the ecstasy.
Yeah. I remember going in the back and bumping into Lauryn Hill
and Destiny's Child and do you remember us walking through the back there and all of a sudden we bump into like Dr. Dre and somebody and we all looked at each other, and I think we were kind of marked out for each other, but
yeah, everybody
didn't say anything, and we all just walked away.
Everybody's too tough to go, damn, yeah. Dog!
And then afterwards, I'm like, shit, I wish I would have said something.
We totally should have got a picture. Oh, man, they probably didn't even have camera phones back then. But I do remember that, man, and I remember we had a blast. I remember we went one morning, woke
up. And Simpson Sarandon and Tim Robbins came up with their kids, and We won't ask anybody else here for pictures, but
yeah, but we want y'all's. The kids wanted That's pictures great. With us.
And
that
I was
cool, man.
And I was wearing a FUBU jumpsuit. Tracksuit, I mean.
Hey, we were cool. I saw a picture the other day. My youngest daughter showed me. It's like, what are you doing? You know that picture where it has all the kind of guys in the ring and some Billy's on the apron and I'm standing up above. It's an iconic picture from that era that everybody's in. And I have like a brown and black Adidas sweatsuit on, like long pants, thing.
That's right.
And my daughter goes, oh my, yeah, my hair's sticking up. And my daughter goes, man, that outfit is so cool. Where did you get that? I said, that's 40 years ago. I said, your dad used to be cool. Don't think he wasn't. You just know me now because I'm old and fat. But we used to rock some cool stuff.
Yeah.
There's the picture right there. There's the picture. And it's that suit. Yeah. And I just thought like that suit would get over because now the brown sweatsuits are all hot again today. That was Steve
Brian. Blackman. When you were asking me earlier about when I finally got spoiled, it was in the DX era, and I started getting them merch checks, and the money started coming in,
Did you know what to do with it?
A little bit. I didn't know what to do with it, but I had somebody else that did, but, they can only protect us from ourselves so much. Long.
Right, until you say, you're fired. Yeah. Give me my money. I totally know that, man, but it's just like so quickly I forgot just my common sense and my, like so quickly.
Dude, you were spending it as fast as it came in. I'd come to his house. He'd have just like a couple of like new Volkswagen bugs, like they were go-karts or some shit.
Yeah, that's the way it was. Yeah, my I did not need all of those cars or those houses or my, I just didn't know what to do with it. I thought that's what you did with it. You know what I mean?
One of the things.
Oh, Lord, it was fun. That's why I say, like, I wouldn't go back. If I did, I'd just save money. You know what I mean? Like, what is that? What it's about, really? I don't know.
I'll take, like, you're going to get to the end of your life, and like you've worked your ass off the whole time, and were hard on yourself, so you could save money till the end. I mean, I kind of get it, but I assume have fun.
I only get it if I need to leave money for my children or something. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't taking it with me. They're all doing pretty good on their own. Like, I don't think, I got life insurance. So when I die, that'll pay for that, And so, so it's, I don't know, man, to me,
I had a blast.
Me too, man.
He's buying
Volkswagen. I'm not trying to romanticize doing things that are self-destructive, but I had a blast doing a lot.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's it too.
And I do not apologize for saying so.
Amen. Me either, man. I had a good time. I wish I would have handled relationships differently in my past, but none of the wrestling crap. You know what I mean? Like, I only, because that's what it's all about now, man. That's what, they used to say, and I didn't believe them. Oh, you're rich if you got love and family and people around you. And I thought, like, that's the stupidest crap I ever heard. But it's the truth, man. Yeah. I mean, yes, it's good to pay your bills, but that, man, I don't know. I'll dig a hole and put a shelter half over it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I've done it before.
Of all the people that everyone thought would finally come up out of it, I think you and I might have been two of the last ones.
Well, that's probably the truth, man.
Yeah,
that's
people thought we're going to get their life back. You got yours, like, ahead of mine. you know, and it's incredible, man. I just, dude, you got your life back. You got your family back.
Yeah, like, I got a second chance.
Bro, they were gone, man. They were like,
yeah, people are gone. Yeah, friends of ours that we literally were on the road with are gone. And I look, I try to keep that in the forefront of my mind to remain thankful, because I also believe that a thankful addict won't pick up, yeah. You know what I mean? Or alcoholic won't drink. So I try to keep my, look, I changed my perspective when I got sober, man. Everybody wasn't out to get me, and everybody don't hate me. Now, I still can't keep it clean in my head about others thinking about me. I want everybody to love me, and I try to care and please everybody. And that's not realistic either. You know what I mean? So I'm still fumbling around, but as far as emotional maturity and stuff like that. Yeah. I think I'm still new at it all, but that's the penance. You know what I mean? And that's what I always say is, look, I can't go back to yesterday, but I know what I can do about today and tomorrow. Yeah. You know what I mean? I ain't even promised tomorrow, but I know what I plan to do. And I'll start with today, man. I'm gonna try to treat my wife with respect. I'm gonna try to, and that stuff sounds really simple to people. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds like, but I'm an a-hole by nature. I am a jackass. And for some reason, I treat the people that are closest to me the worst.
He's not lying. He's a total asshole.
I don't know why, man, but I try to be a better person to people. And I don't know, man. I don't know if I'll succeed or fail, but I did get another shot, dude. And I said that on Twitter the other day, because Zach Gowen said Vince McMahon saved my life. And I said, ditto, bro. I said, he saved mine too. And saying thanks doesn't seem quite enough. You know what I mean?
He tried with me. It took me a little while after that. But the things that they did for me, you know, and the rehabs and stuff, that all, like, it, just because I messed up again for a long time afterwards, like, I still had that knowledge, man. Like, I knew what to do.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what the thing is I'm so full of crap that I can fool myself, and I'm a quick learn, so I can, I learned the buzzwords. Now I can say this. Now I got them all fooled. Well, and when I was trying to do all that, I found out, like, some of this stuff is cool. Like, I can start, but now it's, with the recovery, it just taught me about looking inward. You know what I mean? Like, stop looking at everybody and everything and how it's all affecting you, and bless your poor, poor, pitiful me. What, you know, and start looking at what the flip you're doing about
it. Dude, it's hard to not be me. It's hard, man.
It is, because we're all, and look, I go out on a different limb, but I think we're all covered in this sinful flesh to where we have that in us, man, the good and the evil. You know, they say the Holy Spirit's in your body. Well, yeah, well, so is the devil. You know what I mean? Because I have him in my head too. I have thoughts like that. You know,
our whole lives, adult lives, has been everyone, like, you know, goo-goo gaga-ing over us. And, you know, we'd be in the center of attention. So, like, it's hard to imagine, like, people not being enamored with everything we have to say.
But that's what I got to. It's like, I'll never forget Scott saying, what do you do once the people stop chanting your name?
Scott Hall.
Yeah. I think about that all the time, because that's a totally gut-wrenching feeling and thought. And then it hit me, like, well, what do? You gotta look yourself in the mirror and go, like, what am I gonna do? And do I care enough to do it? Or do I care enough to try?
The thing is, like some of us, they never quit chanting, man.
I mean, that's
the, it's just we don't get it as much.
Right, sparingly. I went out the other night and I said, look, I don't know if they're going to expect me to say my thing before the show, but I'll be spent for commentary. Like, I'll be blown up for 30 minutes, you know what I mean? So just play my music and I'll walk down real fast, you know? And the people still pop. Like, it was a good pop. Yeah. And I thought, man, I'm a fat old dude that looks like Kris Kringle, and they still have it for me, you know what I mean? And so it made me feel really good inside, because I beat myself up a lot.
It's great. It's great, man.
Yeah. So what are you doing now? What are you doing? What are you doing, bro?
I go hiking with my dog.
I rescued my dog when
you remember Lou, right?
Like, yeah,
my little Lula.
Yes.
When she died, dude, that was the worst I lost it over that, man.
Yeah.
It's literally like I never had that much hurt.
For how many days? You know what I mean? Like
forever,
it put you
man.
In a funk,
like
right?
Earlier I was crying. And
bless her heart.
But there was this dog in the shelter, and he was blind, and he had just like been blind for a couple weeks, and like he'd been in there for a year, man. He needed to get out of there, and he needed us, and so I had to bring him here as a foster, and it just, dude, I can't be fostering dogs, man. I fall in love with
them. Love them too much.
Yeah. So we got his sight back, and man, he's the best dog ever, man. Like
he got his sight back?
What?
Yeah, I brought him to the zoo. He spent a lot of money on him.
Is his name Buster?
Buster, yeah.
That's what Dom, our producer, obviously stalks you. He's a stalker too.
Yeah,
so
we spent a lot of money getting him trained, and like my wife's she's good at training dogs anyway.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah.
Dude, I'm horrible. I love dogs, but I can't get them to do nothing.
She's great at it. I don't have the.
Well, it's a patience. Temperament too, right? It's a energy and all kind of crap. And I'm too emotional. Yeah. I think the new word to say is passionate, but that's bull crap. You just can't control yourself, dude.
it's hard to regulate the emotions at this point in my life.
That's a shoot because, hey, look, I'm not that used to friggin' handling them. You know what I mean? Like I drank them, snorted them, shot them, and did everything else I could to make them go away for a really long time. It was my main job. And so I'm just getting used to these feelings. Please be gentle with me. So now you're hiking with how many dogs you have?
Just him and we got our cat.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Inside cat?
Yeah. And no, he goes in and out.
Oh, does he?
Oh, yeah.
That's how you do it right there.
Well, because we got him from the street. My wife got him from Philadelphia. He was on the street in Philly.
Do y'all talk about it? Like we have one of our dogs that actually just passed away. Her name was Cece. And my wife rescued her off the streets of Jay, Florida. Yeah. And we used to say she used to walk the mean streets of Jay, Florida.
That's right.
City of brotherly love, my ass. You try being a homeless cat out there. Oh, I love it, man. What's the cat's name?
Victor.
Is he social?
Oh, he's such a sweetheart, man.
Yeah, yeah. I like a good social. Some cats just look at you like, who are you?
Yeah, he's a lovey-dovey cat. Yeah,
that's cool.
And I named him after, there's a guy, he passed away now. He's in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
His name was Black Cat. He was Mexican. His real name was Victor.
Yeah, I remember hearing about Black Cat.
And Vic, our cat, the black cat. So
you named him Victor. It makes perfect sense. Yeah. I totally see that. Hey, so I don't want to cut us short, but I also want to leave some room to have a volume two. You know what I mean? we just got to DX and we talked a little bit about our social.
Oh yeah, there's so much more. Oh my god.
there's a lot more, especially
like
on the social part.
WWE. Oh my god.
Wait till you hear that story about Tijuana and the Benoit balls. Anyway. Anyway, yeah. We won't talk about that. But so Cassio, you got anything you want to part with?
We'll part with this. Last year, you make what I think is your previous last experience with Janela at GCW. Was that last time you were in a match?
Yeah. I did a match with him. I teamed with him.
Yeah. Fantastic job. And then
had a singles match with the dude, Brian.
Yeah.
I went from not working forever.
Yeah.
I didn't get in the ring once. Like, things had happened, and I ended up not training properly. I tore my bicep in a tag match with Tina with him. And I had this match. I agreed to do it Mania weekend. And so I waited until after that match, like 2 months later, to get my arm fixed.
Hey, once that pops, does it hurt all the time until you got it fixed, or did it just kill you when it popped?
It still cramps a bit, man. I waited too long, so it rolled up a lot. But, dude, I had a 25-minute match with that kid after not having – dude, I thought I was going to die.
Wow. I would have died for sure.
Is that the last one?
that's it, man. I might have a match or two, like, under the right circumstances, but it's not going to be on any, like, and I like GCW. I like those guys a lot, and yeah. I had a good time there, but I'm not going to do that again. Like, yeah. if it's going to be
something
on a big stage.
It's got to be Sean Waltman's last match.
Yeah, because this is the truth of it. Like, I get paid more to do autograph signs than I
yes.
do to have a match.
That's what I meant earlier. And again, I didn't want to sound braggadocious because I know how that sounds. But, yeah. But it's like, holy crap, man. I can just sign autographs for this weekend and take yeah. home $35,000. Is that what you're saying to me? Yeah. You're like, okay.
No yeah, bumps, just, no falls.
Yeah,
nothing.
Not okay. nothing. Just showing up for 3 or 4 hours here today yeah. and tomorrow.
Probably sitting next to one of your friends.
And I'm taking you out to dinner tonight with your friends. And you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'll yep. take that. And I was blown away. Like, I had no idea that kind of thing was happening. And it just so happened that my new action figure had just come out. So there was a new one while I was signing yep. to sign.
Yeah.
And it was like the timing. I'll tell you this story later because it's all about me, but things have been good in my life, man. And I'm glad to see that things are good in yours. And really when I say that, I just mean your head. You know what I mean? Yeah. because that's where, man, I have such a hard time in between my ears, just keeping that piece of
yeah.
let go, Brian.
Yeah, because it's still a lot still going on in there, right?
Yeah, I ain't figured it yeah. out. I'm still certifiable. I would argue. You know what I mean? Like yeah, as far as is controlling myself and I still
say this about myself and there's a lot going on up there, man. And I do my best with it. I do therapy, hypnotherapy, a lot of different
yeah.
things. But I present well. You know, like
yeah.
to the people that are talking to me, you
yeah.
wouldn't think
yeah,
anything
yeah.
wrong with me.
Yeah, but it's duck on a pond. Duck on a pond.
Yeah.
On top of the water, smooth as silk. Underneath, 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
90 miles an hour. And you just yeah. go like, oh, God, let me just breathe and go check in at the airport. You know what I mean? Like yeah. it's a battle.
Yeah.
Kiddo, man, I love you so much.
I love you, man. I miss you.
I know. I miss you, too, and I wish we could talk forever. We could, but it's just I don't want to. I'm just kidding. I got to do another one after this. I want to leave their mouths watering a little bit because, look, I think this is fun to hear me and you shoot the breeze about the biz and about what has been. We will never talk about what is going on, but we'll catch up in part two and talk about the DX years, you know what I mean? And really dive in a little
yeah.
bit to that.
Yeah,
and dude, we do a thing here called the Thankful Minute. Don't
yeah.
put it up yet, Dom. Don't. Dom. So it's just we put up a clock and you got 60 seconds to cut a promo about what you're thankful for. You know what I mean? And nine uh-huh. times out of 10, who else has done it with us, Cassio?
Who else has done it? Not many.
I know,
we don't do it with
Meanie,
all the guests.
I think Blue Meanie did it.
Yeah, man, hey, I just did one. I just did this at Ron Funch's house for Thanksgiving.
Oh, really? Oh,
great.
Yeah.
Hey, he's hilarious, that dude.
Yeah.
All right, here we go, Dom.
Put 60 seconds on the clock.
Dom, are you awake?
My turn.
Yeah,
no,
right.
I'm not
here
sure,
go.
Dom. Yep,
go.
Go ahead, kiddo.
Oh, it's so. Okay. Here's the thing, man. Can we stop the clock for a second?
Yeah. Yes, we're starting it over.
Yeah, start it over.
Get it off of there.
It's probably not going to be a promo. Like, let me tell you something. You know,
it shouldn't be.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just you talking for a minute about things you're thankful for.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Like, I'm just thankful for my life right now. Like everything about it, you know, like I have an amazing marriage. I mean, it's incredible. I didn't think I would be able to have be able to hold my end up of a marriage. Like, it's incredible, man. And my wife's amazing. And, you know, I got my relationship with my children back and I have this beautiful grandbaby and, I have my health, you know, I mean, when we talk about you know, like what's going on inside our heads. Like, yeah, there's a lot going on in there, but man, like, I feel like I've done a good job with it. So, yeah, man, I'm just grateful, man, for my life and to be able to still talk to my friends and have conversations like this. Like, I mean, I'm really grateful for the lasting relationships I have.
Amen. Amen, man.
That's all about, man.
That's exactly what it's all about. It's not about how much I have in my goddamn bank account. It's about the relationships I've had with other humans that were either positive or negative, and a lot of that is on me. You know what I mean? I can control that part. I can control nothing else, but I can control the way I react and respond. And so that's all I got. Yeah, kid, I love to see where you're at in your head, in your life. I think it's so great that I have very close friends in this industry that I could count on one hand. And every one of them is in that place right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it just feels really good to be in a group of people that I feel like I got off a shipwreck. You know, I survived a shipwreck with, you know what I mean? It was, we went through war, and
that's what I tell my wife, because she's like amazed at like the closeness that all of us have.
Yeah.
Even the ones that we're not like the best of friends with, we still have bond, right?
Yep. You still see them, and it's like, hey man.
And I'm like, dude, when you've been in the trenches with people, like, and when you've been out in front of 20,000 or however many thousand, rocking it with them, you built it.
Yeah, I totally trusted you. You totally trusted me. We were simpatico. We became one in that hotel room. We'll talk about that on the next podcast where we became one. That's where you earned the name Slippery Spoon. But we'll talk about
that. I don't remember that.
That's because I just made up all of it.
Right.
I do a lot of walking, do you? No, I'm fine. Kiddo, I love you, dude.
I love you, man.
We're going to get off of here, and we're going to do this again. And I can't thank you enough for doing it, dude. And just, I can't tell you I love you enough either. I miss you, man.
Same.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, dude.
Love you.
I love you, man. I love you, bro.
Thank you, John.
If you're not down with that.
I really enjoyed this. It was fun.
Thank you, dude.
It's, you know, I mean, you got some questions in there too, but it's just sitting there and just catching up because you never call anymore.
I'm busy.
There we go.
When you texted me earlier, I was like, crap, I should have texted him first.
Don't worry.
All right, man.
I would have my producer ask too.
Our people.
I hate asking my friends for this shit.
I know, me too. Me too, dude. Hey, but I love you, and I hope to see you soon.
Love you too, man.
All right, man.
See you guys.
All right, let's get out of here.
Thank you, gentlemen. Great episode.
Thank you, guys.
If you didn't like that, we got two words for you.
Suck it.
Yeah.
There it is.